concerned about our country's direction, where we're headed with this country? How can we make a difference and make things better? And what is it that we need to be able to make a difference in our country? Now, these are all good questions. We've kind of struggled with that ourselves, and they're important issues. And so we are in part two of a series of, is the church really relevant today anymore? I mean, what value is church anyway, and how does church help us? So what do you see in our country today? There is a lot of good in our country. We read about it, we hear about it, our neighbors are busy helping people. There is good in our country these days, but somehow we seem to hear a little bit more about the bad, the troubles, whether it's the news media dramatizing all the bad news or whether it just, I don't know, makes better, I don't know why. Anyway, so we hear a lot of bad, but so there are areas of concern that in our hearts about where's our country going? And so we need to support the good. We need to figure out what we can do to make a difference. And so this morning what we want to talk about is, where does the church fit in this? I mean, the church is here to help us. And so how does it help? Well, last week we talked about what is the church? And we talked about the fact that the church is not a building, it's people, and that it's made up of imperfect people, people that make mistakes, people that get off track. Many times we hear people referring to people in the church as being hypocrites. They say one thing and do something else. Well, they're not perfect people. So I tend to think of church probably more like a support group. I talked about that last week, more like Alcohol Anonymous, where they get together and they talk about their struggles. And that's probably a little bit more what church is about, pulling people together, helping one another get over our shortcomings and such. And you know, the other thing about church that I wanted to kind of dawned on me today as I was preparing for this message is our church, that is the body of people, does reflect our society, the society we live in, the good of our society and the not so good parts about our society. So what the church does, what this group of people is trying to do, is strive to be more like our model in our Lord and Savior, that is Jesus Christ. Jesus came and was a model of the godly life. He not only talked about what we need to do to live better lives, but he actually lived that kind of life. So let's turn to the Bible real quick and kind of see what we can dig up out of the Bible this morning. And we're going to turn first to the book of Ephesians. Paul wrote that letter to the church at Ephesus. And Ephesus was a cosmopolitan city. It was a major seaport. It was a place, a connecting point of travel and commerce from one place to another in the ancient times. And so the part I found interesting when I thought about this letter and what it has to say to us is Ephesus was probably a lot like us here in the United States, you know, in that we're a major cosmopolitan country. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of good influences and a lot of not so good influences. And so let's turn to Ephesus, and let's turn to Ephesus chapter 4. We'll look at portions of it. And if you read from, say, verse 7 to verse 16, some highlights of this reading is each one of us was given gifts by God through the Holy Spirit. And we were given those gifts for building up the body of Christ. Now, each one of us has a different gift or a different set of gifts. And so Paul talked about parts of the body, and we'll mention that in a little bit, but each one of us by ourselves is not complete. We don't have all the gifts, but together we do have all the gifts. The other point that Paul makes in this letter, in this portion of this letter, is that we should no longer be like children who can be deceived easily by evil influences or wayward influences. That the point he's making is that having faith, having love for God is not an on-off, yes-no situation. We start to learn and love God, and then we grow in that. And as we grow, we get stronger, just like we do as human beings. Another point that Paul made in Ephesus was in love. Love is the key. Love is like the glue. Love is kind of like the foundation. We must grow up in every way into Christ. In other words, Jesus was our model. Jesus lived the godly life. Jesus showed us how to live. And so that's our goal, is to strive to live more like Jesus would have us live. Then Paul comments about the whole body. Now remember, the whole body is made up of all of us little pieces, if you will, each of us with a different gift. And so all of us are joined and knit together. He used the word knit together. My wife knits, and I think that's kind of cool. You know, I have not a clue how that works. But anyway, she takes some yarn and, I don't know, she hooks it all together. Well, Paul talks about using the yarn of love to knit together the different pieces of the body so that together we are strong, we are complete. And the reason for that is to stand against the wiles of the devil and other evil influences. And you know, when I look out in our country, I see good, but then you see evil. For instance, these peaceful demonstrations. Those folks, I'm sure many of those people are honest and sincere and demonstrating for what they believe in, but then you get this evil influence that comes in and turns it violent. And so we do have evil influences in our society. And so as we stand together and we get knit together in this love in the church, then we get stronger to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil and other evil influences. If we go a little further into Ephesians, we go to Ephesians 6, starting at about verse 10. This is a reminder, so there's nothing new here. It says, be strong in the Lord. We by ourselves are weak, but through the Lord, God gives us strength. And be in the strength of his power. And then put on the whole armor of God. God shields us from evil influences if we'll only trust and lean on him. And the reason we put on the full armor is to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because Paul points this out, and you know, I tend to be a person of science. I was an engineer before I retired from that. And so it's very strong in science and facts and physics and all that other stuff. But Paul points out that our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but rather against rules and principalities and spiritual forces of evil. And so there's more than what we can see. There are evil influences, whether it's the devil or his minions, doesn't matter. So we struggle against more than that which we can put our hands on, and that's where God gives us strength and he gives us protection from those evil influences. And then, lest you think only Paul thinks that way, in 1 Peter chapter 7, starting at verse 7, Peter writes, like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around. I mean, you know, that's kind of a dramatic statement. It's kind of, you know, I can picture it in my mind, a roaring lion, you know. But that's Satan. Satan is, and his forces are always looking for a weak link, a chink that they can get a hold of and maybe subtly, just subtly get us turned away from where we should be going. And so that reminds us of the need for that. And then lastly, Mark chapter 1, around verse 21. Jesus tells this story, Mark tells the story of Jesus was teaching in the synagogue. Then all of a sudden, a man jumped up and cried out and started making a ruckus. Well, kind of like the point that we can learn from this is that this man, it said all of a sudden, the Bible says all of a sudden he jumped up. Well, that means that he was kind of minding, he was like acting normal and everything was okay, and then all of a sudden jumped up. Well, that's kind of like what we're seeing out in society, right? We have perfectly good people going along and then something gets a hold of them. Maybe not an evil spirit. I don't know. We don't talk about evil spirits much today. But a weak moment? Who knows? and they say, or somebody's kind of whispering to them, hey, let's go bust open that whatever store window or whatever they're doing. Let's go steal something from somebody. And you get caught by that, but in the emotions of the moment. And so the Bible warns us that these are these things that we need to be careful about. And so some key points here is we are all given gifts, but we all don't have the same gifts, and so we don't all see the world the same way, and no one of us is complete in the gifts that we have. And so it's like the human body. You got a hand, you got an ear, you got a nose, you got feet. No one part of the body, even the heart or the brain, can't stand on its own. We need to be knit together in love, and together we are strong. Together we can put on the armor of God and be shielded against these evil influences. So together we are stronger than any one of us is. And then as Christ followers, we can learn more about how Jesus lived his life to give us guidance on how we should live our life. And this strength is not all or nothing. We don't wake up one morning and, oh, we're strong. We start out like children and we grow and we grow. And so we need to be diligent at working at learning those points. And so the point of all this is that as the church, together we are stronger. As the church, we can help each other be stronger in good ways and resist the ways that are not so helpful or downright evil. And so that's what our church can do for us. And that's why the church, the people, the imperfect support group people together are so important to help our country straighten up a little bit by helping our community, helping those in our community. And so, God is great. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your words of wisdom that you lay out for us in the Bible and through the life of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray that you will warm our hearts with the truth of your word, that you will take these words that I've spoken this morning and transform them so that each one of us hears that message that you have for each one of us. We pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And again, next week what we'll talk about is how this church is trying to go into the neighborhood and help in any way we can to join people together so that this community is stronger by knitting together the various pieces in love.